Drift is made possible by Sierra Sil, the all-natural Canadian-made mineral supplement that guarantees you'll notice a difference in your joint pain or your money back. Sierra Sil's been part of our family, including our dogs, for decades. Find out more in the morning at sierrasil.com and use the code DRIFT for 10% off. Well, hello, I'm Erin, and welcome to Drift. Thank you for taking some time for yourself and for sharing that time with me as we relax and enjoy some pleasant moments doing so, and then drift into a beautiful story from long ago. This one is The White Cat, written by Madame la Comtesse d'Aulnoy, and I think you'll find it perfect. Drift is made possible by my two fairy godmothers, Kathy and Kim, Canadian RNs who made a wish come true to design and then sell a beautiful, eco-friendly and antimicrobial pillow in the softest silk covering and with a travel option as well. Why? To help us prevent wrinkles, to keep our skin cleaner, to aid with neck issues and even prevent TMJ. Learn more in the morning at Envy Pillow, ENVYPillow.com. Do the quiz to see which is best for you. And don't forget, with the code DRIFT, you'll get 10% off anything you choose. Now, my friend, let's take a few minutes to let your body relax. We'll do it by breathing. Just take one deep breath in, feeling that cooling, cleansing air fill your body right down to your toes. Now exhale. Let's do it again. This time, after you inhale, hold it a beat, okay? Breathing in and holding and out. Great. One more time. In, holding, and out. Release your thoughts. Just be present with me and my voice and the music and the sound of your breath as you continue on your own. And now, as we start moving to your body, close your eyes. Make your lids as heavy as a weighted blanket. Let your forehead and eyebrows be gently still, and your mouth, outside and in, just let it be. Moving down. Is your neck still working? You should feel it heavy on your pillow or headrest, wherever you are. And your shoulders should be dropped down, down. Let your arms feel heavy. Your busy hands and fingers completely limp. Now to your chest. Can you feel your breath in there? Even hear the beating of your heart? That beautiful heart of yours, so full, so caring. To your belly now, let it be soft. Let your backside just relax and sink into whatever is holding you, reminding you of being grounded and part of the earth, whether you're on the third floor or 3,000 feet in the air. Moving down your legs, relax those thigh muscles. Now your calves, and now your feet, those delicate bones that do so much work and carrying and moving, if we're fortunate. Relax your feet. Let them fall wherever they want to. And with one more breath in, all the way to your toes and holding. And out. Think these words: I am safe. I am loved. I am at peace. And if you're ready, let's drift. Once upon a time, there was a king who had three sons, who were all so clever and brave that that he began to be afraid that they would want to reign over the kingdom before he was dead. Now the king, though he felt that he was growing old, did not at all wish to give up the government of his kingdom while he could still manage it very well. So he thought the best way to live in peace would be to distract the minds of his sons with promises which he could always get out of when the time came for keeping them. So he sent for all three, and after speaking to them kindly, he added, "You will quite agree with me, my dear children, that my great age makes it impossible for me to look after my affairs of state as carefully as I once did. I begin to fear that this may affect the welfare of my subjects. Therefore, I wish that one of you should succeed to my crown. But, in return for such a gift as this, it is only right that you should do something for me. Now, as I think of retiring into the country, it seems to me that a pretty, lively, faithful little dog would be very good company. So, without any regard for your birth order, I promise that the one who brings me the most beautiful little dog shall succeed me at once." The three princes were greatly surprised by their father's sudden fancy for a little dog, but as it gave the two younger ones a chance they would not otherwise have had of being king, and as the eldest was too polite to make any objection, they accepted the commission with pleasure. They bade farewell to their father, the king, who gave them presents of silver and precious stones, and agreed to meet up again in exactly 1 year to see the little dogs that they had brought for him. The young men went together to a castle, which was about a mile from the city, accompanied by all their friends, to whom they gave a grand banquet. And the three brothers promised to be loving siblings always, to share whatever good fortune befell them, and not to be parted by any envy or jealousy. And off they went. Each one took a different road, and the two eldest met with many adventures, but it is about the youngest that you are going to hear. He was young and happy and handsome, and knew everything that a prince ought to know. And as for his courage, well, there was simply no end to it. Hardly a day passed without his buying several dogs, big and little. As soon as he had bought a pretty one, he was sure to see one still prettier. And then he had to give away all the others and buy that one, as, being alone, he found it impossible to take 30,000 or 40,000 dogs around with him. He journeyed from day to night, not knowing where he was going, until at last, just at nightfall, he reached a great gloomy forest. He did not know his way, and to make matters worse, it began to thunder, and the rain poured down. He took the first path he could find, and after walking for a long time, he saw a faint light and began to hope he was coming to some cottage where he might shelter for the night. Eventually, he reached the door of the most splendid castle he could ever have imagined, covered in jewels and made of gold. And it was the pure red light that shone through it that had shown him the way through the forest. Then he saw a deer's foot hanging by a chain of diamonds, and he began to wonder who could live in this magnificent castle. "They must feel very secure against robbers," he said to himself. "What would stop anyone from cutting off that chain and digging out those gems and becoming rich for life?" He pulled the deer's foot. A silver bell sounded, and the door flew open. But the prince could see nothing but hands in the air, many of them, each holding a torch. He felt himself being pushed forward by other hands, and though he felt somewhat uneasy, he could not help going on. With his hand on his sword, he entered a hall paved with coral, while two lovely voices sang, "The hands you see floating above will swiftly your bidding obey. If your heart dreads not conquering love, in this place you may fearlessly stay." Well, the prince knew he was not in danger, welcomed this way. So guided by the mysterious hands, he went toward a door of marble, which opened on its own. And he found himself in a vast hall of mother-of-pearl, out of which opened a number of other rooms, glittering with thousands of lights, and full of such beautiful pictures and precious things that the prince felt quite bewildered. After passing through 60 rooms, the hands that conducted him stopped, and at the same moment the fire lit itself, and the pretty, soft, clever hands took off the prince's wet, muddy clothes and presented him with fresh ones, made of the richest silks, all embroidered with gold and emeralds. He admired everything he saw, and the deft way in which the hands waited on him. When he was quite ready, and looking very different from the wet, weary prince who had stood outside in the rain, the hands led him to a splendid room, upon the walls of which were painted the histories of Puss in Boots and a number of other famous cats. The table was laid for supper with two golden plates, golden spoons and forks, and the sideboard was covered with dishes and glasses of crystal set with precious stones. The prince was wondering who the second place could be for, when suddenly in came about a dozen cats carrying guitars and singing, making the strangest kind of music. The prince plugged his ears, and the sight of these comical musicians sent him into fits of laughter. Just then, a door opened, and in came a tiny figure covered by a long black veil. The little figure came up to him, and he saw that it was the loveliest little white cat you could imagine. She looked very strong and very sad, and in a sweet little voice that went straight to his heart, she said to the prince, "King's son, you are welcome. The Queen of Cats is glad to see you." "Lady Cat," replied the prince, "I thank you for receiving me so kindly. But surely you are no ordinary pussy cat. Indeed, the way you speak and the magnificence of your castle prove it plainly." "King's son, I beg you to spare me these compliments, for I am not used to them. But now, let supper be served. Let the musicians be silent." So the mysterious hands began to bring in the supper, which, while fine for a cat, made the prince feel queasy. But the white cat saw this and assured him the dishes intended for him were prepared in a separate kitchen and contained no mice at all. Then he noticed that on the little paw that was next to him, the white cat wore a bracelet containing a portrait, and he begged to look at it. To his great surprise, he found it represented an extremely handsome young man who was so like himself that it might have been his own portrait. The white cat sighed as he looked at it, and seemed sadder than ever, and the prince dared not ask any questions. So he began to talk about other things, and found she was most interested in everything he cared for himself, and seemed to be quite up on what was going on in the world. After supper, they went into another room, which was fitted up as a theater. The cats acted and danced for their amusement. Then the white cat said good night to him, and the hands conducted him into a room he had not seen before, hung with tapestry worked with butterflies' wings of every color, and a little white bed with curtains of gauze tied up with ribbons. The prince went to that bed, and in the morning he was awakened by a noise and confusion outside his window. The hands came and quickly dressed him to hunt. When he looked out, all the cats were assembled in the courtyard, some blowing horns, for the white cat was going out hunting. The hands led up a wooden horse to the prince and seemed to expect him to mount it. He was quite indignant, but he couldn't object, for soon he found himself upon its back, and it pranced off with him. The white cat herself was riding a monkey, which climbed up even to the eagle's nests when she chose. Never was there a more pleasant hunting party, and when they returned to the castle, the prince and the white cat dined together again. But when they finished, she offered him a crystal goblet. It must have contained a magic powder, for as soon as he had swallowed its contents, he forgot everything, even the little dog he was seeking for the king, and only thought how happy he was to be with the white cat. And so the days passed in every kind of amusement until the year was almost gone. The prince had forgotten all about meeting his brothers. He did not even know what country he belonged to. But the white cat knew when he ought to go back. So one day she said, "Do you know that you only have 3 days left to look for the little dog for your father, and your brothers have found lovely ones?" Then the prince suddenly recovered his memory and cried, "What can have made me forget such an important thing? My whole fortune depends upon it. And even if I could in such a short time find a dog pretty enough to gain me a kingdom, where should I find a horse to carry me all that way in 3 days?" The white cat said, "King's son, do not trouble yourself. I am your friend and will make everything easy for you. You can still stay here for a day, as the good wooden horse can take you to your country in 12 hours. "Thank you, beautiful cat, but what good will it do me to get back if I have not a dog to take to my father?" "See here," answered the cat, holding up an acorn. "There is a prettier one in this than in all the world." "Listen," she said, holding the acorn to his ear. And inside it, he distinctly heard a tiny voice say,
"Bow wow!"
The prince was delighted, for a dog that can be closed in an acorn must be very small indeed. He wanted to take it out and look at it. But the white cat said it would be better not to open the acorn till he was before the king, in case the tiny dog should be cold on the journey. He thanked her 1,000 times and said goodbye, quite sadly, when he set out. "I only wish I could take you with me now." But the white cat only shook her head and sighed. The prince was the first to arrive at the castle, where he had agreed to meet his brothers. But they came soon after, and stared in amazement when they saw the wooden horse in the courtyard, jumping like a hunter. The prince met them joyfully, and they all shared their adventures, but he hid from them what he had been doing. The next morning they started in the same chariot. The elder brothers carried in baskets 2 such tiny, fragile dogs that they hardly dared to touch them. When they reached the palace, everyone crowded round to welcome them, and when the 2 brothers presented their little dogs in the king's hall, nobody could decide which was prettier. Then the youngest stepped forward, drawing from his pocket the acorn the white cat had given him. He opened it quickly, and there, upon a white cushion, they saw a dog so small it could have been put through a ring. The prince laid it upon the ground, and it got up and began to dance. The king was speechless, for no one could imagine anything prettier than this little creature. But he was in no hurry to part with his crown, So he told his sons he was going to ask them to go once again and seek by land and sea a piece of cloth so fine it could be drawn through the eye of a needle. Well, the brothers were not very willing to set out again, but the two eldest consented because it gave them another chance. So off they went. The youngest mounted his wooden horse and rode back at full speed to his beloved white cat. Every door of the castle stood wide open, and it looked even more wonderful than before. He hurried in to find the white cat. She was asleep in a little basket on a white satin cushion, but awoke as soon as she heard the prince and was overjoyed. And then he stroked and petted her and told her of his successful journey and how he had come back to ask her help, as he believed it was impossible to find what the king demanded. The white cat looked serious and said there were some cats in the castle who could spin very well, and she would demand that they do it themselves. The white cat was cleverer than any a cat has any right to be. But when the prince asked her how it was that she was so wise, she only said, "King's son, do not ask me. I may not tell you anything." Soon the white cat told him the year was gone, but not to be anxious about the piece of cloth, as they had made it very well. "This time," she added, "I can give you a suitable escort." And on looking out into the courtyard, the prince saw a superb chariot of burnished gold, enameled in flame color, drawn by 12 snow-white horses. Their trappings were flame-colored velvet embroidered with diamonds. 100 chariots followed, each drawn by 8 horses filled with uniformed officers, and 1,000 guards surrounding the procession. "Go," said the white cat, "and when you appear before the king in such state, he surely will not refuse you the crown which you deserve. Now take this walnut, but do not open it until you are before him, and then you will find in it the piece you asked me for." "How can I thank you properly?" said the prince. "Only tell me that you wish it, and I will give up forever all thought of being king to stay with you here always." "King's son, it shows the goodness of your heart that you should care so much for a little white cat who's good for nothing but to catch mice. But you must go." So the prince kissed her little paw and set out. But the prince was so late that his brothers thought that he must not be coming, and were rather glad of it, and displayed their pieces of silk to the king proudly, feeling sure of success. But the king, who was only too glad to create a challenge, sent for a particular needle, which was kept among the crown jewels, and had such a small eye, everybody saw at once it was impossible that the silk should pass through it. The princes were angry and began to complain that it was a trick, when suddenly the trumpet sounded and the youngest prince came in. His father and brothers were quite astonished at his magnificence, and after he had greeted them, he took the walnut from his pocket and opened it, fully expecting to find the piece of silk. But instead, there was a hazelnut. So he cracked it, and there lay a cherry stone. Everyone was looking on, and the king was chuckling to himself at the idea of finding the piece of silk in a nutshell. However, the prince cracked the cherry stone, and everyone laughed when he saw it contained only its own kernel. He opened that and found a grain of wheat, and in that was a millet seed. Then he himself began to wonder, "White cat, are you making fun of me?" In an instant he felt a cat's claw give his hand quite a sharp scratch, and hoping that it was meant as encouragement, he opened the millet seed and drew out of it a piece of silk 1,600 feet long, woven with the loveliest colors and most wonderful patterns. And when the needle was brought, it went through the eye 6 times with the greatest ease. The king turned pale. The other princes stood silent and sorrowful, for no one could deny this was the most marvelous piece of silk to be found in the world. The king turned to his sons and said with a deep sigh, "Nothing could console me more in my old age than to realize your willingness to gratify my wishes. Go then once more, and whoever at the end of a year can bring back the loveliest princess shall be married to her, and shall, without further delay, receive the crown, for my successor must surely be married." The prince considered he had earned the kingdom fairly twice over, but still he was too well-mannered to argue about it. So he went back to his gorgeous chariot, and surrounded by his escort, returned to the white cat faster than ever. This time she was expecting him. "Well, king's son, here you are once more without a crown." "Madam, thanks to your generosity, I have earned one twice over, but the fact is my father is so reluctant to part with it that it would be no pleasure to me to take it." "Never mind. It's just as well to try and deserve it, as you must take back a lovely princess with you next time. I will be on the lookout for one for you." The year slipped by even more pleasantly than the preceding ones. Sometimes the prince could not help asking the white cat how it was she could talk. "Are you a fairy, or has someone changed you into a cat?" But she gave him answers that told him nothing. Days go by so quickly when one is very happy, and it's certain the prince would never have thought of it being time to go back, when one evening the white cat said to him if he wanted to take a lovely princess home the next day, he must be prepared to do what she told him. "Take this sword and cut off my head."
I cut off your head? Darling, how could I do it?"
"I entreat you to do as I tell you, king's son." The tears came into the prince's eyes as he begged her to ask him anything but that, to set him any task she pleased, but to spare him the grief of killing his dear cat. Nothing he could say altered her determination. At last he drew his sword, and desperately, closing his tear-filled eyes and with a trembling hand, cut off her little white head. But imagine his astonishment and delight when suddenly a lovely princess stood before him, and, while he was still speechless with amazement, the door opened, and a company of knights and ladies entered, each carrying their former cat's covering. They hurried in joy to the princess, kissing her hand, congratulating her on being restored to her natural shape. She received them graciously, but asked to be left alone with the prince, to whom she said, "You see, prince, that you were right in supposing me to be no ordinary cat. My father reigned over 6 kingdoms. The queen, my mother, whom he loved dearly, had a passion for traveling and exploring, and when I was only a few weeks old, on one of her trips, she lost me in a woods, and I was found by a fairy who turned me into a cat that I might survive better on my own. And the old fairy said, 'You will stay as a cat and have everything that you want, but if you find true love, you will once again be restored to your human princess self.'" At this, the prince threw himself at her feet. "Do you consent to marry me?" "I love you already better than anyone in the world, but now you must go back to your father, and we will hear what he has to say." So the prince gave her his hand and led her out, and they mounted the chariot together more splendid than ever before. Even the horse's shoes were of rubies with diamond nails. As the princess was as kind and clever as she was beautiful, imagine what a delightful journey the prince found it, for everything the princess said seemed to him quite charming. When they came near the castle where the brothers were to meet, the princess got into a chair carried by 4 of the guards. It was hewn out of one splendid crystal, with silken curtains which she drew around her, so that she might not be seen. The prince saw his brothers walking toward the castle, each with a lovely princess. When the courtiers saw them coming, they hastened to tell the king. "Are the ladies beautiful?" he asked anxiously. Indeed, the first two brothers' princesses were so lovely, he found it impossible to choose between them. Then, turning to his youngest son, he said, "Have you come back alone, after all?"
"Your Majesty," replied the prince, pointing at the curtained crystal chair.
The king smiled and went to draw back the curtains himself, but at a touch from the princess, the crystal shivered into a thousand splinters, and there she stood in all her beauty, crowned with flowers, and her softly falling robe of purest white. She saluted the king gracefully, while a murmur of admiration rose from all around. "Sire, I am not come to deprive you of the throne you fill so worthily. I already have 6 kingdoms. Permit me to bestow one upon you and upon each of your sons. I ask nothing but your friendship and your consent to my marriage with your youngest son, so we shall still have 3 kingdoms left for ourselves." The king and all the courtiers could not conceal their joy and astonishment, and the marriage of the 3 princes was celebrated that very night at the castle. The festivities lasted several months, and then each king and queen departed to their own kingdom and lived happily ever after. And with that, the tale of a beautiful cat, as perhaps one or two cuddle next to you now, I will wish you a good night and sweet dreams.